WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeman, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLiveChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account, like Lindsay has, and I subscribed for 54 months. Thanks. Link them together, and you can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen with Prime Gaming. It's that simple. You can also use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store when you buy your Fortnite crew, your Battle Pass, your Lego Battle Pass, your OG Battle Pass, your Snoop Dogg, your Eminem, your Ice Spice. No, that's not a thing. But anyway, you can buy all those things. Get a Godzilla and more, because hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by a very healthy intern.
Sure, healthy. We'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although honestly, like, the sinus congestion is basically gone. I have a cough still, of course. Surprise. But it's a hell of a lot better than it was Friday or yesterday, so... All in time for me to go to the office tomorrow. Yay!
You know there's something called a sick day.
Yeah, but I actually have to run reports tomorrow, so I have to go in.
I mean, you don't have to.
Well, you no, have I have to go in. I have to go in tomorrow, and I definitely have to go in Tuesday because I have to teach that day. So,
you have hundreds of hours. Anyway, that's
I could tell you the hours I have. That would make you sick.
I think it would make everyone sick, including the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Survivor Series Review webcast of WTR Sunday Night, streaming live all over the interwebs. If you're listening anywhere on the World Wide Web, join us at twitch.tv/WTRLive. Live chat room. We got the lovely Lindsay Ward in the chat. She'll say hi to you. Hi, Lindsay. And, yeah, well, we'll communicate with you. We'll do that. And I don't want to get sick, so Brent, stay away from me. Wear a mask or turn your head and cover your mouth when you cough. You know, shit like that.
I don't think you have to worry about me going up there. You're good. Just saying.
I'll switch the weather with you.
How cool is it there?
It's currently minus 16 Celsius in the greater metropolis of Calgary. Dramatic pause. Alberta, Canada.
All right, hang on. Let me see what my temperature is right now.
And coming up in one minute.
It is a whopping 16 degrees Celsius right now here.
Yeah, I'll trade you plus 16 for minus 16 any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm not changing. I enjoy wearing shorts. It's great.
Okay. There you go. Well, according to Leonardo DiCaprio, we've got a case of global warming moving into southern Alberta, better known as a Chinook, which has been happening since the Earth began earthing. And so I'm looking forward to the milder temperatures. No snow in the forecast for a couple of weeks, so I can deal with that. Happy December, everybody.
And now, in sports, we're here to talk about Survivor Series that took place last night in Vancouver.
Oh, wait. Before we talk about Survivor Series, I do have a question for you. It's a bit of a riddle. You said sports, and this is sports related.
Okay.
It has four holes worn by most sports teams and shares the name of a state.
What is it, Tim?
What is it?
I'm asking you.
Come back to me at the end of the webcast.
Okay, let's talk about Survivor Series, which opened up with the Women's War Games. It was Team Rhea taking on Team Liv. They went for it.
That was really, really a very good opening. I enjoyed the match.
Rhea's mask was amazing.
It was that was very demonically good.
Well, the funny thing is when she came out with that, I thought, okay, this is going to be like a typical entrance mask, and she'll take it off and she'll have like the hardcover thing that we're used to, like what she came out with when she announced War Games. And then like when she's standing there in the cage and still has it on, I was like, oh no, this is what she's gonna be wrestling with. Okay, all right. it was a good match, I'll say that. I enjoyed the women's match, although it did start with my favorite spots of all time.
Yeah.
As soon as someone starts to enter the match, they spend 14 hours searching under the ring for whatever utility they're supposed to be bringing into the cage.
There is one thing I hate about Survivor Series War Games. There's one thing I hate about War Games. And I get it. It's all part of the whole thing altogether. The match doesn't officially start until all 10 wrestlers are in the double ring inside the cage. And I get it, having them enter with, you know, one team gets the advantage and then the other team has to deal with it until they're all in there. It just takes too long. Get them all in there faster and get the match started sooner and have it go longer, because I want the chaos and the mayhem of 10 people in that ring trying to absolutely decapitate each other. You know what I'm talking about, Brent, when I said decapitate.
The flare spot?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Good old Mr. Perfect.
There's absolutely almost nothing wrong with that match. You don't expect anything to run flawlessly when you got 10 people fighting each other, two teams of five. The one thing that really took me out for a quick second and it bothered the tick out of me, and I'm blaming the control room and the camera people. And the camera people are on the list only because they're the ones capturing the action. But did you like Io Sky's entrance?
I assume Brent did. He's probably coughing or something.
Is he muted and coughing his lungs out?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm back.
Rocky,
sorry. Sorry.
There you go. No worries. Shit happens when you're sick. Depending on the type of sickness is depending on what type of shit happens. Anyway, did you like Io Sky's entrance?
I mean, I always like her music. I don't remember her coming out.
Climbing the cage with the...
her entering that ring. Yes.
Yes.
And then...
what I was
and then
about.
Candace trying to suplex her in.
And Io getting down. And the spot called for her to power bomb her off the side of the cage. But Candace was up too high and Io's a little too short. and missed the spot completely. Kudos to both of them for not trying to redo the spot like we bitched about in years gone. But the gripe and the bitch that I have is the cameraman caught a close-up of VO laughing and saying something to Candace before they basically improvised a spot.
Well, and I mean, sometimes it's hard when you're trying to do a sunset powerbomb from coming off of a cage that... Luckily, you have two very experienced people that can call something on the fly and be like, okay, that didn't work. Well, let's try this. And I think Io hit a cross body and then did the kip up immediately after. So it's one of those, like, yeah, you could tell it probably wasn't the spot it was supposed to be, but they still made it work, which was nice.
Yeah, making it work is great. And like I said, kudos to them. But the production truck and the camera is what pissed me off. They should have immediately cut to a different camera because you don't want to see two supposed enemies sharing a chuckle and a comment about the missed spot. I don't want to say botched because you don't expect, like I said, you don't expect everything to go off without a hitch in these matches, especially. But you don't want to catch them, to use the old parlance, breaking kayfabe in public.
Well, there could have been another, or there was another kind of awkward spot, but I understand what they were doing. And I don't fault anyone because for the type of spot it was, you have to have everyone ready. And it was when both Io and Tiffany were on the top of the cage, and Tiffy was ready to go. Tiffany was ready to hit her Swanton, but the people in Io's ring were still fighting. They were still trying to get into position. So Io's having to sit there while she's getting the can ready to do the lights out moonsault with the trash can on her head. Her upper body.
Yeah, that's just her doing pulling that move off is just it's for somebody with my background, it's just nerve-wracking.
Well, and the thing that's was interesting about that is, so Io pulls it off, and as in years past, she hits the moonsault and still ends up on her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone catches her, but if you watched it, she still landed essentially on her feet, and she just kind of pops the can off, like, all right, cool. And Tiffany was waiting for her moment, because they're supposed to do it in tandem, and she hits the Swanton on the group, which almost missed her, by the way. But I'll give Tiffany credit, like, for her first War Games, she looked pretty good in this one.
She did, and I think she acquitted herself admirably. Of course, the crowd was behind her just the tiniest little bit, hey?
Oh, one of the best spots of all of the whole match was when the time came for her to kind of get into the ring, and she's running in place, and she's so excited, and as soon as the door opens, Candace just sneaks past her and gives her the little wave as she starts walking to the ring, and the crowd just hated that moment. But it was great for the heel team.
Yeah.
But
and you just see Tiffany kind of standing there like, wait, what?
But also in this match, Brent almost got his moment. Almost. Almost.
Yeah. And I told you it wasn't going to happen. I told you the tease would be there, but no, I'm sick and tired of calling it. And so I called against it this time around.
When she pulled out that briefcase and both women are down, and I was like, just do it. Just pick up one of the titles. Because that would have been hilarious, and it would have been one of those moments of, like, you know, yes, it's been cashed in a WrestleMania main event. It's, you know, it's turned a match into a three-way. I just would have loved to see them, yeah, they put it in War Games. Because also the question becomes, wait, Tiffany just pinned one of the people. Did she just win or lose this match for her team? I would have loved that kind of explanation, like Corey Graves and Michael Cole having to sit there and be like, but wait, she's on the
what
team.
What just happened?
But, you know, it's what we almost saw in the AEW four-way tag team match when the Acclaim tried to pin each other, and the announcers were like, well, technically they can't do that. I mean, in this match, it would have been, they said she can challenge for a title at any time, so here we go.
Here we go, indeed. But it was Team Rhea coming out on top.
Yeah, they did a good job in neutralizing Raquel in that same moment.
Oh, the handcuff to the rope. That was not the first time we've seen that, but that was one of the more effective times we've seen it.
Well, and the best part was is they disguised the moment in which she got handcuffed, because it was supposed to be Rhea, and Rhea fought her way out of it, and it took Io Sky with the fire extinguisher, and she's spraying everyone, and everyone's kind of looking at that in the chaos, and then all of a sudden you see in the corner of the screen, there's Rhea between the rings with this giant Cheshire cat grin, and you notice, oh, Raquel's, you know, now put on the ropes. And Raquel was still able to do some stuff, like she was able to scale down the one part of the ring to hit the big boot, but ultimately to try and save Liv, she couldn't. She was just out of arm's reach, and you could see, like, how much it pained her that she couldn't be there for Liv. So it was great visuals.
I watched that spot twice, and I'm like, no, there's just no way in hell I was able to pick up the cuffing.
No, and that was the best part, was so you couldn't
nobody
tell.
Nobody saw it. Yep.
Right.
All right, so we got a question. Was it necessarily a good thing to have both your champions and Money in the Bank winner to all lose in one match? It's war games. It's war games.
Yeah, titles and guaranteed shots don't matter for shit. You've got one team against another team, and that's what it is. So, as far as that goes,
well,
it wasn't a bad idea. It wasn't a good idea. It was the baddies against the goodies.
Well, and the whole thing about that is if you're the heel team, you can instantly just start pulling blame at somewhere else, because Nia won't lose anything because her whole thing is just, I was never pinned. I was a force in that match. You know, it was Liv Morgan who lost that. You know, that's what blew the match for us.
Should
Tiffany,
Liv... go ahead.
What? I was going to say, Tiffany doesn't lose anything because she still has the specter of the Money in the Bank briefcase just kind of sitting out there. So no matter what, she's just biding her time for whoever's champion that she wants to cash in on. And Liv can be like, it took five people to beat me.
Yeah. Should Liv have been losing as much as she has lately? No. But in this, it's fine. In the other situations,
in this case, Liv doesn't lose shit.
But the other two matches, LeMans is talking about, yeah, she should. It's hard. It's hard when it's a tag match, because you don't want to beat Raquel because she's the muscle. It's weird that way. Go ahead, Brent.
Yeah, I think in this respect, though, because you quote unquote neutralized Raquel the way you did, and I will even say the fact it took, you know, a top rope
Riptide
through a table to put Liv out. I'm not saying, you know, Liv is the Incredible Hulk, but it's still one of those things of, like, it took a big move to take her down, and Liv has never been a powerhouse champion anyway. She's had to win thanks to Dom, thanks to Raquel. Yeah. Anyway, she was never, you know, the absolute credible champion.
She is not, like you said, credible, and that's her job as the heel champ and Dom's go-to girl.
Well, and they said
her
on the
job is to win. Her job is to win in a really, call it sleazy if you want, way.
Yeah,
and she has been doing that, especially against Rhea.
Well, and I was going to say the. Like, post-show was even talking about this, and they were saying, like, oh, I can't wait until we get to see, you know, Liv have to defend the belt just herself when you don't get the Judgment Day involved. So they're already kind of playing up that fact of, like, yeah, she needs help to win, so even if there is, you know, questions about credibility, it's already there. That's part of the whole reason why it's like, okay, you know, she'll take whatever scummy way she can to win, it's fine.
It is indeed. In the biggest surprise of the night, we had a new U.S. champion crown when Shinsuke Nakamura beat L.A. Knight.
I'm floored by this because it's the only pick and pick that I got wrong. I'm not floored by it because it's the one that I got wrong. I didn't expect them to take the title off L.A. this quickly. I expected this to be a bit longer of a feud between the two of them. Not saying it can't be, because, you know, LA Knight might want a rematch or whatever. But after the match, I stopped and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, if the guy's going to be gone away for a couple months and half reinvent himself and then come back, do you want to bust the refreshing of his character, his persona, that quickly?
They gave him new music, new look. It kind of made it feel like you had to give him the belt.
A little bit pretty of much. A more aggressive style, too. Shinsuke was always aggressive, but it was like there's more oomph, I want to say, behind his stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing that I did notice in that match against LA yesterday. We, especially me and I think Casey, super excited when they initially signed Shinsuke. Absolutely incredible career in Japan. And, you know, when they, what they call the worldwide global indie scene, whatever. I don't want to say the word exciting, but a fun wrestler to watch before he came to WWE. And then we kind of got a little bit disappointed. And the problem was, even though he spent his time adapting to the WWE style, he still had his own thing going. And it was almost a case of a more talented Sin Cara. He fell a little flat, not because of his shortcomings, but because everybody they put him in the ring with couldn't keep up with him. And his having to tone down was a travesty. Last night was very enjoying with the reinvigoration of his wrestling, Brent.
Well, I think for me, as much as Shinsuke has always been kind of not an enigma, but it's like there's a whole package that you're doing with him. Like when he came out before with the with the more upbeat violins, and he was kind of like the artist, there was a presentation to him where he's eccentric, and you know, yeah, he'd do the kind of kicks in the corner where he does like the shake leg. There was something to that. The fact, like, he came out last night and the music is so much slower and so much more, I'm not trying
slower,
not
im- and lower not and more driving,
right? It's more intimidating.
Yeah. Because slower it, and driving.
Right. When it's that slow and it's that meaningful, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. And then Shinsuke took his time getting to the ring, and he's got the kind of Shogun helmet, and it's like, oh, okay. And then, you know, he has the, for lack of a better term, you know, the bad guy, you know, the Caduceus eye makeup from Doctor Strange underneath the hair. And yet he comes out and he still performs, you know, a very slow, deliberate, strong style match. And I think for what it needed to be with this being his return with this new iteration, this was the match he needed, because even though Knight did get in moves, it was by no means a full-out squash, but this was a showcase for, like, what new Shinsuke is like. And from everything I'm reading, everyone is like, yes, this, we want this. We want more of this guy right now.
Yep.
We'll see what they do with his title run. Speaking of title runs, the Intercontinental Championship is on the line as Braun Breaker successfully defended against Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser.
These guys wanted to beat the piss out of each other. Sheamus is back, has got welts upon welts thanks to the shillelagh. Ludwig has done well in kind of elevating his stock as well, because he's so used to being not even a henchman, but more just like the announce guy slash lackey for Gunther, is what we've all been used to when we've seen Imperium. It's like there's Imperium, there's Gunther, who's the head of it, and then there's, well, the other guys. And they can wrestle. We're not going to deny that, but there is a clear delineation. And recently we've seen Ludwig kind of take that step where he's going to be more aggressive. He's going to, you know, he has his own kind of charge that the camera gets, that he'll put someone into the steel steps. And it's nice to see him with that kind of aggression. You've got Sheamus, who's the old hand in the ring that can help someone, you know, both of these guys in the spots where they need. And then you have Braun, who just looks like a goddamn beast.
Mm-hmm.
The speed in which he hits the ropes, the power in which he hits moves, and the way in which it's almost effortless for him to do it. Like, when he hits that Frankensteiner off the top rope that his uncle used to, it looks like he's just pulling off a, you know, just a normal backflip, not sending someone off of a top rope onto the mat.
Really good stuff.
He wrestles with authority.
Well, and I think in the post show when they interviewed Gunther about, you know, what all happened with his and Kaiser's match, they tried to address, like, oh, is Kaiser in trouble because he didn't win his match? And Gunther was like, no, I told him to get out of my shadow. He performed well. Like, this was his first real chance to try and go for a title. And look, he stepped up. I'm happy for him. And I think that's going to go a long way to helping that character, because if it had just been, oh, well, he didn't win, so we're going to have words, then he just looks like a, you know, a lackey, and you expect him to get beat down, and he will forever be in that kind of, like, secondary role.
Yeah.
With he
wound up looking like a bigger little bitch than he did previously.
Right, and when Gunther is saying, like, we both need to step up, and then it's like, Gunther has the match, he does, and then Ludwig goes out, performs this way, and he gets essentially praised by Gunther, like, no, he performed well, that's what we want, and it's like, oh, it's only a matter of time. That sets him up even more to look like, okay, he's in the picture for the IC title, maybe he'll get Braun by himself next time, or, you know, maybe he'll move on to something else, but he at least has some advancement through this, as opposed to just, well, he didn't win, all right, back to the, you know, middle of the pile for you, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Gunther. He successfully defended the World Heavyweight title against Damian Priest. Turn of Finn Balor getting involved in Damian Priest's business.
Obviously, that story's not over and done with. Didn't Gunther suffer a beatdown in the parking lot after the Survivor Series?
Damian,
yes. I meant.
Yes.
Did they not do another one of those? Oh, look, a fan captured this.
Yep.
Do you find that effective?
Yes.
I mean, it's not that they're fooling anybody, but I like the way that they're doing that part of the storytelling. I have to admit it.
Makes it real.
It makes you're it. Not... Yeah, it brings a little reality to it's the like, whole thing.
You weren't supposed to see this, but this happened.
And this is just going to turn the feud between Damian and Judgment Day to 11, which I'm fine with as long as they have a conclusion to the whole thing in sight. But getting back to the match itself, the one thing that I noticed, Gunther coming out, he had that look in his eyes like, I don't know if I can win. I don't know if I can win. He didn't look like he was doubting himself. But it was a hell of a job on his part selling the fact that he was thinking he might lose the title here.
That was the story they told. And his confidence was lower since losing.
Yeah, and he admitted it. He admitted as such of like, when they asked him, did your confidence take a hit? And he's like, absolutely.
Well, yeah, you know, the whole thing, you can say what you want to say. You can script out all the interviews and the question and answers and everything like that. And have your guy say certain things, but not all of them are able to sell it with their expression without saying anything in the moment. And, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I absolutely love Gunther as a character. I mean, the wrestler is so damn good, and he puts so much spit on his character. It's, I hope that certain individuals in the locker room are paying close attention to what he's doing, right from when he walks out at the beginning to when he walks back in at the end.
Well, and one of the things that's interesting about Gunther is, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, it's a very simple character. It's not something that has layers upon layers upon layers. It's just, he's the ring general. He thinks things, you know, like the ring should be sacred. You should honor this. You should... And will he use heel tactics? Sure, but it's a very simple, clean style that he wrestles, but he does it to such an extent, like you said, that it's like he doesn't need a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing that they use mostly in sales, a phrase or a saying. Use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid, which is what that is. And that's the method that he's employing for Gunther, and it's perfect. At some point, less is more, and it works better. And like every time it comes out, I'm just impressed. Like he's got the ring psychology. He's total package. Got the ring psychology. He's able to actually go in that ring, and he's able to make stuff look believable. And he can carry a weaker opponent, like a weaker wrestler in a match. He can carry him. And this match between him and Damian lends one to believe that Damian hasn't lost his shot at that title. Like he hasn't lost his opportunity at another shot at the title.
No, one he's thing still very credible.
One thing that I really loved after Finn Balor interfered and caused the havoc and the mayhem, Gunther was not happy about that and went and kicked him.
Mm-hmm.
Went and kicked Finn and was like, "Don't interfere in my matches," you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we still have Gunther as world champion, and then your main event, the OGs of the Bloodline and CM Punk taking on the new Bloodline in men's War Games.
Wait, fun match. Rock, before we get into the match, and I'm saying this because I know you appreciate this as well, the video that they put out on the internet first and that they showed before the match here, where they did the introductions, chef's fucking kiss.
They did it for the women, too. It's really good.
I know, but it was like the men's was the one that got, like, the men's felt like the most College Game Day-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's funny of, like, of all the people in the match, Tonga Loa is the only one who did the actual school he's from.
Yeah, no.
Like, you had Roman with Island of Relevancy. You had Sammy talking about being from the Uso Penitentiary. You had Tama Tonga and whatever the hell he said is chattering. And then you get to Tonga Loa, who actually breaks out University of Texas El Paso, where, if you don't know, he did play college ball.
Very NFL offensive lineman introduction feel.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic that they did those intros because, again, if you're doing that kind of sports presentation for a, you know, starting lineup, that's what you do. And people can introduce what college they're from or high school or whatever they want to say during those moments. If you're George Kittle, sometimes it's just a surprise, even to the people recording it. But it added a bit of, you know, like sports to it, which we've talked about. They've been working towards ever since they've gotten, you know, some of the, you know, the TKO signing and some of the people in place. And Hunter embraces that because it gives you, it pulls in a casual fan who's like, ooh, what's this sports thing that I don't necessarily know about? Or, you know, oh, I'd never really consider this that kind of way. And it gives you something a little bit different rather than trying to fight against that kind of element as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the match. Tell me about it.
The Roman Redemption Tour, you mean?
Yep.
You saw you saw essentially similar but different ways in which the teams were led. Because you had, you know, your starting group, which was, well, let's first say, the new Bloodline came out all together, and they made a big note about that fact. They all came out as one team. There's cohesion. There's all of this.
And they're all united.
And then you had the OG Bloodline all come out individual. And I was noticing the fact of, like, oh, Roman didn't come out last. It was Jimmy. But it was also because all the guys that came out first were just going to be put in the cage. And I was like, oh, okay, so Jimmy comes out to start the match. I understand that. But it was still intriguing that it's like, you would have thought they'd bring everyone out. And then kind of like what we saw with both the women's match or with the OG, or with the new Bloodline, someone would be like, okay, I'm going to go. But it was still nice to see Jim or Jay get that kind of shine in being the last one to come out. But you had those moments where, you know, the buzzer would tick down and it's time for someone to go in. And with the new Bloodline, everyone was turning towards Solo of, like, who's going in. And there was that one moment where Tonga was ready to go and it was like, no, Jacob, you're in. Roman, on the other hand, had a more deliberate style of how he was going to do things, which was just put my arm out in front of CM Punk when he tries to go in and telling Sammy to jump in the match, and then Punk basically telling him to piss off the next time and just charged out of the cage.
charged past him in the fourth spot.
But I liked... Excuse me. I think it played out the way I thought it was going to. The women's match was more about the spots and kind of the utter chaos that was going to happen throughout the whole match. For the men, they were all just telling a story throughout the entire thing, which was, you know, Jay being the one to start the match and him just getting absolutely beat down because number two to enter the match was Bronson Reed, and Bronson Reed was essentially the hired gun. He was going to be the guy that, the big dude that could lay waste to whoever was in the ring, and he did his job throughout that entire match. But throughout this, it was that idea of, like, is Roman's ego going to get in the way of what was going to happen with the OG bloodline? That was the story they tried to tell through this whole thing. And the one spot I wish they had done a little bit different was when they locked the cage before Roman got there. Because it prevented Roman from getting into the match. It prevented the match from kicking off. But it felt like he got into the ring still too easily. I know he had to scale the cage, but I feel like there should have been a moment where it's like he's trying to scale it and then like someone hits the cage with a chair and makes him drop. Mm-hmm. Or there's something that happens that keeps him away while his compadres are being beat down and he has to either find a way in. You know, he's watching this happen and it's kind of like, well, what do I do? And that can be where you either bring Paul out or he does something where he's able to overpower the group that's trying to keep him out, and he comes in. It just felt like, oh, we locked the cage. Ha-ha. Oh, wait, we didn't think you could climb. Oh, no. That was like the one spot that I was like, ah, damn it.
So was it the right outcome?
I think it needed this because prior to all of this happening, it felt like the new bloodline had been running roughshod. They had picked up all of the major wins that we'd seen. And I feel like you needed something to make it where they suffered a bit of a setback or that there is a true challenge to Solo Sikoa. It's not Roman being like, I'm the OG tribal chief. And yet every time he tries to go up against Solo, he continues to lose because then it's like, well, there's no point. You've lost your step. With this, it's like there's still a claim to the throne, essentially. So now it's, well, Solo has to face off against Roman to prove he is the chief.
Was it the right outcome, Tim?
It was absolutely the right outcome. The entire storyline was building to this. And is it the end and then everything gets disbanded with 2.0? Yeah, probably not. They're going to find ways of continuing to stretch this story out a little bit. Which is fine as long as they keep it interesting. They've been able to keep it fresh so far over a couple of years. And I think if they've got the right writers in place, they can stretch that a little bit longer. But it was high time that Roman side came out victorious, and this was it.
So good storytelling to end the show.
Well, one of the interesting elements that they touched on, both on SmackDown and throughout this whole thing, was, okay, CM Punk did his job. He helped Roman win. Now Paul owes Punk something, and we don't know what it is. We don't know when it's going to be called in. It's just chilling out there. And so the question now becomes, what is it that CM Punk is owed? Is it a title shot? Is it, hey, whenever I need Roman to do me a solid, he's got to be there. Like, it could be a number of different things, and it can work for Punk as both a face and a heel. So it's going to be real intriguing to see, like, how this plays out.
Indeed.
Indeed.
All right, Brent, some housekeeping.
All right. Excuse me. All right, so we had 11 entrants in our pick'em results for Survivor Series. In a tie for 10th place, going 2-3, we had Subway and the Wheel of Fun, just below 500. In 8th place, going 3-2, we have a tie between the 8 Ball and Lindsay Ward. And tied for 1st place, going 4-1, are myself, Casey, Rob, Rock, Sarah, Tim, Tommy, all going 4-1.
Sounds about right, because no one really thought LA Knight would lose. But
no, that's the thing. I got Nakamura right. I got the IC title match wrong.
Oh, I see.
You can't even screw up properly, Brent.
Well, and honestly, the thing is of our two listeners, they both picked Nakamura to win as well. One picked the IC title. One picked the men's war games wrong. So it wasn't just me who got that part wrong.
Indeed. But that's our show.
That is our reviewer Survivor Series. Have you thought about the Riddle at all, Rock?
No.
How about you, Brent?
Jersey.
There's the answer.
Hilarious.
That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the what?
Hilarious.
I didn't say it was a joke. It's, a riddle is something different. Anyway, that's the show tonight. Hope you enjoyed our Survivor Series War Games review. Of course, everything kicks off brand new once again, starting tomorrow night, immediately following Raw with the Post Show.
Here's the Raw Post Show live at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk all things Monday Night Raw. Thursday night, we're talking Survivor Series on the rack. Yes, Lindsay's going to give her a chance to review Survivor Series at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then Saturday, 11:30, CB Radio, live. I think we're doing a debate this... I think this week's a debate.
I think it was up in the air between either GPT or debate.
Yeah. It was one, it's something. We'll have something. We have something. Fine. Tune in Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Maybe we'll throw a little Fortnite beforehand. We'll figure that out. And then we'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Talk something.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out.
It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's on the socials.
Yeah, follow me at Blaine's Forums on Twitter, X Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You'll find me there at Blaine's Forums. Engage with me because it can get fun.
Prince on social.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. Either one of those will be what is used for those platforms.
There you go. Yeah, if you have Amazon Prime, like if your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use carry code RocketSock at the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. We're done. Send us home.
Well, everybody, hope all of our American listeners had a fantastic Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving weekend. And I hope that everybody else on the planet enjoyed their Thursday and the regular weekend. I don't know what you're doing now, but you're not doing it here because we're out.
WildTalkRadio.com.